Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 6, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump threatens to boost tariffs on China.
Trump is clearly laying down the marker here.
Trump tweeting that he's going to raise tariffs represents a knife point.
This is really the height of brinksmanship politics.
Global stocks tumble with equities in China leading declines.
The dollar strengthens, the yuan plunges, and oil slides.
The U.S. deploys an aircraft carrier to the Middle East and a warning to Iran. Plus, President Trump says Special Counsel Bob Mueller should not testify before Congress. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won, took the series for Minnesota. Mets lost, got swept to Milwaukee. NBA playoff road win for Toronto and Denver.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are tumbling following new tariff threats from President Trump. Treasuries are not trading at the moment due to holidays in Tokyo and London. They'll begin trading at the U.S. cash open. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 51 points. Dow futures down 487. They are off the lows of the day. NASDAQ futures down 172. The DAX in Germany is down 2%. CAC in Paris down about the same. The NYMEX crude oil, rather, down 1.2%, down 78 cents to $61.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.2%, up $2.10 to $12.83.40 an ounce. The euro at 1.1195 against the dollar. The yen 110.75. Nathan.
Karen, the calm in global markets of the last few weeks has been shattered by two tweets from President Trump, who is now threatening to boost tariffs on China. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Mark Niket.
Trump is clearly laying down the marker here. It's unclear if he's looking for specific concessions or he's unhappy with something that's already been negotiating, but he clearly wants something different in these talks. This could put the Chinese in a box, and, you know, if they do respond to Trump's demands, it could look like they're caving to, you know, in this case, a tweet.
And those new tariffs would increase levies on $200 billion of Chinese imports from 10% to 25%.
And that led to reports that Chinese trade negotiators were considering delaying or canceling trade talks scheduled in Washington this week. John Liu is Bloomberg executive editor in Beijing.
The Chinese have always said that they will not negotiate at knife point. And I think there are going to be a lot of voices in Beijing saying that Trump tweeting that he's going to raise tariffs represents a knife point.
China says its delegation is still preparing to travel to Washington for talks, but a Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman declined to answer questions about the date or whether the group would be led by Vice Premier Liu He.
President Trump is also floating the possibility of a new 25% levy on another $325 billion of imports. That would hit goods not already covered by current tariffs. Joyce Chang is global head of research at J.P. Morgan.
This is really the height of brinksmanship politics, and it's making the outcomes more binary with everybody focused on the Friday deadline. There doesn't seem to be much leeway now to much go past that.
Before the president's tweets, this week's talks were seen as the likely final round of negotiations, with the U.S. targeting this Friday to announce a deal.
And the news has Royal Financial Markets. S&P futures are down about 1.8% right now. European shares are down 1.5%. But assets in Asia so far have been hit the hardest. Bloomberg's David Anglès joins us from Hong Kong with the very latest. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Stocks in the region had their worst day this year, with the MSCI Asia Pacific ex-Japan gauge falling close to 2%. Some of the worst damage, as expected, was in China, where the CSI 300 fell 5.8%. Shanghai Composite was off by 5.6%. Shenzhen Composite off by about 7.5%. And the small caps index down by about 8%. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, David, thank you. We also saw China's currency weaken by the most in 3 years following the threat of increased tariffs. Rohit Garg is Asia rates strategist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
We actually still think that these recent tweets are some sort of a negotiating tactic. So in that sense, it doesn't really change our medium-term view that Chinese yuan is still a bit undervalued. And at the end of the day, if we do get a trade deal, then there is still quite a considerable scope for Chinese yuan to actually rally against the U.S. dollar.
Well, right now, the offshore yuan is trading at 6.7823 against the dollar.
Oil is also tumbling following those tariff threats from President Trump. Bloomberg's James Thornhill has details from our Sydney bureau.
There was a very sharp drop at the open here in Asia on the back of those tweets we got over the weekend. You've got to bear in mind, crude's had a very good run this year, up over 40%. So, you know, there was an element of positional risk there as well, and the Trump remarks have caught the market off guard there.
Right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% or 78 cents at $61.16 a barrel. Brent is down 0.9% at $70.21.
All right, turning from trade news now, but staying on oil, Occidental Petroleum is a step closer to acquiring Anadarko after sweetening its offer for the company. Occidental increased the cash portion of its bid and agreed to cover the breakup fee Anadarko would pay for abandoning its deal with Chevron.
And we could learn more about the bidding for Anadarko when Occidental reports earnings today. Bloomberg's Dale Schneider has more.
Occidental reports after the bell, and questions about its $38 billion bid for Anadarko will likely dominate the conference call. Last week, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway invested $10 billion in Occidental, with the investment contingent upon completing the Anadarko deal. It's an unusual bidding war for the company, with Occidental's smaller size and financial resources making its offer riskier for Anadarko shareholders. Holders, despite a higher offer. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jill, thanks. We have new details on the fallout from two Boeing 737 MAX jets, with Boeing now saying it knew of a problem with a cockpit alert system months before the first deadly crash involving the plane. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner reports.
Boeing said it was aware of the problem but didn't tell airlines or the FAA until after the Lion Air disaster last October. The cockpit alert is activated when the plane's angle of attack sensors send conflicting signals. Boeing told the airlines the alert was standard across the MAX fleet, but was only working on planes that had a separate indicator on the cockpit display. That feature was not standard and only available at an additional cost. Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thank you. And on the heels of those trade developments overnight, we're seeing some big names in tech trading lower in the pre-market. Shares of Apple, AMD, Qualcomm, Micron, Intel, and NVIDIA are all down at least 3%. In early trading. And again, S&P futures are moving lower this morning, down 52 points. Dow futures down 503. NASDAQ futures down 177. COMEX gold up about 0.2%, up $2 to $1,283.40 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to let us know what else is happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. is sending an aircraft carrier strike group and bomber force to the Middle East to send an unmistakable message to the Iranian regime, citing a number of troubling and escalatory indications and warnings it suggested were linked to Tehran. The White House made a surprise announcement that the USS Abraham Lincoln was being deployed there. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says we will hold the Iranians accountable for attacks on American interests. President Trump now says special counsel Robert Mueller should not testify before Congress, a reversal from Friday when he said it was up to Attorney General William Barr to decide. A Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee said that a tentative date of May 15th had been set for testimony. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell on CBS's Face the Nation was asked about Barr missing the House Judiciary Committee hearing last week.
He missed the deadline last week to give us the full Mueller report. There have to be consequences for that. For that reason, I think you have to move this obstructor out of the way, and I'm recommending that we impeach Attorney General Barr so that we can get the information we need to protect our country.
CBS's Face the Nation can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. At least 41 people are dead after an Aeroflot plane on a domestic Russian flight made a fiery emergency landing at Moscow. Aeroflot says the jet had 78 people on board. Heavy rain slowed down the investigation into a military-chartered Boeing 737 skidding off a runway in North Florida. NTSB Vice Chairman Bruce Landsberg says while they have the flight data recorder, the cockpit voice recorder still has to be retrieved from the Boeing 737.
The cockpit voice recorder, when we recover it, will give us a lot more information on what the crew was thinking, internal discussions, and how they discussed things with air traffic control and their decision-making process.
The plane wound up in a river at Naval Air Station Jacksonville. North Korea fired a new weapon during live fire drills over the weekend. Secretary of State Pompeo on ABC's This Week says Kim Jong-un missed an opportunity to end famine in his country.
Sanctions permit the North Koreans to purchase food products. That's why when I see things like happened on Friday night, where the money could have gone to taking care of his own people, it's so unfortunate.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barth. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, rainy day in the Bronx. The game pushed back 3 hours and then called. In the bottom of the eighth inning, the Yankees beat the Twins 4-1, won the series 2-1. Couple guys who might be in Scranton, if not for all the Yankee injuries, led the way. Mike Tauchman, a two-run homer, and Domingo Herman with another gem on the mound, pitched into the seventh inning, gave up just a run, 4 hits. He's gone from emergency starter to maybe Aaron Boone's ace.
He's not predictable, and he's been able to make a big pitch with either the fastball, the changeup, even the slider at times, but that fastball changeup especially. He's been really good.
Tied for the major league lead with 6 wins. Herman has taken Luis Severino's spot in the rotation. Yanks announced he won't be pitching in New York until after the All-Star break. And the Mets have a couple of pitching concerns. Jason Vargas had to leave early yesterday. Tight hamstring. Steven Matz headed back to New York to check out a nerve issue. All in all, bad weekend in Milwaukee, swept by the Brewers. Back from the 18-inning loss late Saturday, Milwaukee won 3-2. Christian Yelich with his 15th home run. The Denver Nuggets back from Friday's 4-overtime loss in Portland. This time, they beat the Blazers 116-112. Jamal Murray scored 34 points. This after Toronto, also with a road win, also getting its series even at 2-2. The Raptors won in Philadelphia 101-96 as Kawhi Leonard poured in 39 points. There will be an NHL Game 7 tomorrow. Dallas at St. Louis. Blues stayed alive, winning 4-1. There could be two more Game 7s on Wednesday, depending on what happens with a pair of Game 6s tonight. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. And futures point to a lower open on Wall Street on this Monday morning. S&P futures down 53 points. Dow futures down 505 points. NASDAQ futures down 177 points. Bond trading on hold due to holidays in Japan and London. The bond market reopens at 9:30 this morning, Wall Street time, with the cash market. The DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, both down about 2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Burden LLP. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global equities are slumping and Treasury futures are climbing after President Trump's threat to increase tariffs on Chinese imports called into question the chances of a resolution to the trade war. The cash market for Treasuries closed due to holidays in Tokyo and London. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 52 points, Dow futures down 503, NASDAQ futures down 173, the DAX in Germany is down 2%, NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 75 cents at $61.19 a barrel, COMEX gold up a tenth of a percent, up $1.60 to $1,282.90 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Trump administration is deploying an aircraft carrier strike group and a bomber task force to the Middle East on short notice in response to what U.S. officials call clear indications Iran and Iranian proxies were planning an attack on American forces in the region. President Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen is expected to start his 3-year criminal sentence today at the Otisville Federal Prison in upstate New York. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox were winners along with the Giants. The Orioles game postponed. NBA playoffs, the Raptors and Nuggets won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. For that, we're joined in Hong Kong by Senior International Editor Jody Schneider. In London, we're pleased to have News Director David Merritt. And here with me in New York, we're joined by the head of the Americas News Desk for Bloomberg News, Joe Weisenthal. What a week it's probably going to be, Joe. Trump tweets about tariffs and the markets listen.
Yeah, everything had been humming along and markets very low volatility until yesterday afternoon, Trump tweeting that the trade talks are moving too slowly and that there's going to be higher tariffs coming up very rapidly because lots of optimism going into this week. There was a Chinese delegation scheduled to come to D.C. There had even been reports of maybe a trade deal by Friday. But no, these tweets really shattered that calm. Now we see volatility surging and stocks tanking.
Jody Schneider in Hong Kong from the Beijing side. Are these talks going to happen this week?
Well, it's interesting. We started the day here thinking that they were not, that China was considering delaying the trip. People familiar with this told us that the vice premier, who was supposed to come with about 100 other officials, was perhaps not going to come, was going to delay. But then the foreign ministry, in its regular briefing, said that officials were still planning to travel to the U.S. for the next round of these talks, yet they couldn't confirm when and exactly who would be going. And it's even more complicated because there was a media blackout on President Trump's tariff threat, and investors were really confused as to what was going on. And so the currency tumbled, and the markets had a bad day here in Asia as a result.
Yeah, it's roiling markets around the world, including in Europe, David Merritt, amid signs that the Eurozone slowdown may have hit bottom.
That's right. You know, a sea of red in stocks today in the markets that's open. It's closed in London today for a holiday, but a sea of red everywhere else as people look on nervously about any fallout from a China-US trade war. But yes, meanwhile, some rare good data out this morning. PMI is out, not riotously strong, but a little better than estimates, and really just adding to a couple of reports we've had over the last few days that maybe we have hit the bottom in terms of this broad slowdown in the Eurozone. You know, one swallow doesn't make a summer, obviously, but the ECB have been saying for some time we're going to have a stronger second half in terms of European growth. So we'll be watching closely the data coming out the rest of this week to try and get more of a sense of that.
Yeah, certainly. We continue to watch, of course, the deal between potentially Anadarko and Chevron, or is it going to be Anadarko Occidental? Occidental appears to be sweetening the deal here, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. So we already knew that Occidental is going to probably come in with a higher number thanks to the backing of Buffett, but they continue to sweeten their offer for Anadarko above what Chevron has offered by promising to have a greater contribution of the deal in cash, which is theoretically appealing to shareholders, now saying 78% up from 50% would be in cash. And Anadarko has a $1 billion breakup fee that it has to pay to Chevron if that deal collapses, and Occidental has offered to cover that as well. So it's looking better and better for Anadarko shareholders.
Jody Schneider in Hong Kong, the sell-off for equities in China could have been worse had it not been for state-backed funds?
That's right. State-backed funds got pretty active today in selected stocks, according to people familiar who spoke to us. They were trying to cushion the blow from this from the sudden escalation in the trade tensions. We saw PetroChina, which had fallen as much as 3.5% in Shanghai, pair its losses in the afternoon. Down, so it was down only 0.9%. And China Petroleum and Chemical Corp also spiked briefly, ended the day down. But again, it was clear that the state funds stepped in to try to take care of this. And they've had a history of intervening to smooth swings in the $7 trillion stock market in China, though obviously with mixed success in recent years.
David Merritt, we're watching weakness in the Turkish lira this morning. Are we going to see that election redo for those local elections in Turkey?
Yeah, that's right. We're waiting for the ruling from the top electoral body. It could come as soon as today, whether to have a recount or a revote, rather, in Istanbul. President Erdogan very much pushing for that. And at stake here is really the credibility of Turkey's democratic system. Investors really taking fright, as you said. The Turkish lira getting hammered briefly earlier fell below this key six per dollar level. So we'll be waiting for that ruling later today.
And I guess we'll be waiting to see, Joe Weisenthal, just how transitory low inflation may be with data coming out this week.
Well, the winning recipe for investors for years now has been strong growth, or at least decent growth, and mild inflation. That's been the story of this year, too. And we'll see if the mild inflation part continues when we get PPI Thursday and CPI on Friday.
Joe Weisenthal, head of the Americas News Desk for Bloomberg News, with me here in New York. Also with us this morning, David Merritt, news director in London, and Bloomberg Senior International Editor Jody Schneider with us from Hong Kong. Thanks to all three of you on an extraordinary Monday morning. Following the threat of new tariffs on China from President Trump, we are pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. As far as the futures contracts go, with S&P futures now down 51 points, Dow futures down 504 points, NASDAQ futures down 173 points. Bond market closed for overseas holidays. We'll see how the bond trading goes when that gets going with the open of the cash market at 9:30 Wall Street time. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and global stocks are tumbling after President Trump threatened to increase tariffs on Chinese imports. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the very latest from Hong Kong.
President Trump making the threat because he thought the talks were moving too slowly. He said he'd increase tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports to 25% on Friday. That's up from 10%. In effect, President Trump just declared Friday the deadline for tariffs long promised, if no deal. Given the ramifications of that, it puts pressure on both sides of the table. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Trade talks between the U.S. and China appear to be on life support, with Beijing struggling to respond. China's foreign ministry says officials are still planning to travel to the U.S., but they declined to answer questions about the date or whether the group would be led by Vice Premier Liu He. Andrew Tilton is chief Asia-Pacific economist at Goldman Sachs.
This certainly raises the risks that we don't get a deal near future. I think markets and we had been expecting something to come together over the next few weeks, and clearly the U.S. administration had been expecting something to come together.
Now, the market reaction has been violent. U.S. futures down nearly 2%. Europe's Stoxx 600 lower by 1.5%. China's Shanghai Composite tumbled 5.6%.
Oil is falling to a five-week low as the trade news rattles commodity markets. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil down 1.25% or 77 cents at $61.16 a barrel. Brent is down 0.9% at $70.19.
All right, turning from trade news now, Occidental Petroleum is a step closer to acquiring Anadarko. Occidental increased the cash portion of its bid and agreed to cover the breakup fee Anadarko would pay for abandoning its deal with Chevron.
And Boeing left airlines and U.S. regulators in the dark about a faulty cockpit alert linked to those 737 MAX crashes. Boeing says it knew the alert wasn't working properly months before the Lion Air crash last year. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And again, S&P futures are down about 51 points. This morning, Dow futures down 496, and NASDAQ futures are down 170. The DAX in Germany is down 2%, and the CAC in Paris is down about the same. NYMEX crude oil again down 1.3%. It's down 80 cents at $61.14 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $1,282.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1192 against the dollar. The yen 110.77. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is right here to tell us what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The U.S. deployed an aircraft carrier strike group and land-based bombers to the Middle East. The U.S. defense official says it's in response to indications that Iran and its proxy forces were preparing to possibly attack U.S. forces in the region. The official says U.S. forces at sea and on land were thought to be the potential Iranian targets. The Israeli army says it has lifted protective restrictions on residents in southern Israel, signaling a ceasefire agreement that has been reached with Palestinian militants in Gaza to end the bloodiest fighting between the sides since the 2014 war. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress has been tentatively scheduled. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It is set for May 15th before the House Judiciary Committee, but now President Donald Trump has changed his mind on whether it should happen at all. Now, he said in the past he'd have no objections, and even on Friday...
I don't know. That's up to our Attorney General, who I think has done a fantastic job.
But then yesterday, tweet U-turn. No redos for Dems. Are they looking for a redo because they hated seeing the strong no-collusion conclusion? So Congressman Eric Swalwell on CBS says it's kind of like dealing with a bad kid who now needs to be punished.
The bigger picture here, if we are not able to protect our people from a foreign attack, do we really actually have a government that can defend us?
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
An Aeroflot plane on a domestic Russian flight made a fiery emergency landing at an airport in Moscow, killing 41 people. According to Aeroflot, the plane had 78 people on board. President Trump's ex-lawyer Michael Cohen is due to start a three-year prison sentence today for crimes including campaign finance violations related to hush money payments made on Trump's behalf. North Korea fired a new weapon during live fire drills this weekend. It came a little over a week after Kim Jong-un met with Russia. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on ABC's This Week.
These launches took place just after he met with Vladimir Putin.
Right.
So clearly... Chairman Kim has not yet been able to get precisely what he wanted.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is expected to launch his presidential campaign in a few days. That's according to the New York Daily News. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, good weekend for the Yankees. Minnesota Twins came in with the best record in baseball, and the Yanks took 2 of 3. Yesterday, 4-1, a game that started 3 hours late due to rain and was then stopped in the bottom of the eighth inning. Mike Tauchman hit a two-run homer, and Domingo Herman improved to 6-1 on the season. Yanks have won 11 of the last 15. Tonight, start a four-game series at the stadium with Seattle. Clint Frazier expected to come off the injured list. Mets are in San Diego. They've lost 8 of the last 11. They got swept in Milwaukee, losing 3-2. The Brewers' Zach Davies is now 4-0. Very low ERA. The Mets manager is Mickey Callaway.
We've run into some good pitching. We still need to be better than we are, even though, you know, some teams that we've faced have been on a roll. I mean, that kid tonight, he's got a 1-3 ERA or something now. So we haven't been swinging the bats well, and we've run into some good pitching. But we still got to figure out a way to win. That's what this game is all about.
Last five games, Mets have scored only 7 runs. That includes playing the equivalent of 2 games Saturday when they lost in 18 innings. They're 1-5 versus Milwaukee. They're 2 under 500 on the season. NBA playoffs, Toronto won to Philadelphia 101-96. Kawhi Leonard, 39 points. He's averaging 38 a game in the series. Series tied at 2. Denver won at Portland 116-112. Jamal Murray scored 34, sealed the win. 6 free throws in the last 13 seconds. This series also tied at 2. NHL, St. Louis and Dallas tied at 3. Blues won 4-1. They'll play Game 7 tomorrow. Max Homa won the Wells Fargo Golf in Charlotte by 3 shots. His first PGA win. He won $18,000 2 years ago. Yesterday, he won $1.42 million. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
All right, John, thank you. Berkshire Hathaway held its annual gathering in Omaha over the weekend, where executives Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger lamented lost opportunities in tech. Bloomberg's Mark Mills has details.
During Saturday's Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting in Omaha, Vice Chairman Charlie Munger said he gives himself a pass for not predicting Amazon.com's ascent, since Jeff Bezos is, quote, a miracle worker. But he decreed that not buying shares of Google was a big mistake. We just sat there sucking our thumbs, said Munger. We're ashamed. Berkshire's Apple investment is paying off, though, with Berkshire probably up more than $10 billion after Apple shares jumped 20% in the first quarter. I'm Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mark, thank you. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Amid an escalating conflict over sanctions with the U.S., Iran's foreign minister has proposed an exchange of prisoners. The Trump administration should dismiss the suggestion out of hand. There's no equivalence between the Americans in Iran's prisons and the Iranians detained in the U.S. The Iranians, accused of violating sanctions, have access to the processes of American law. The Americans in Iran are held on trumped-up charges of espionage and have little legal recourse. The U.S. has a long-standing policy of not negotiating for hostages, and with good reason. Among other things, it encourages more hostage-taking. Only when a comprehensive agreement with Iran can be reached could the U.S. agree to a prisoner swap with some confidence that the Iranians would not simply grab more American hostages. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 is the time on Wall Street now. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A year after a volcano on Hawaii's Big Island rained lava and gases in one of its largest and most destructive eruptions in recorded history, people who lost their homes and farms in the disaster are still struggling to return to their cherished island lifestyle. Over the course of 4 months, Kilauea spewed enough lava to fill 320,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools, burying an area more than half the size of Manhattan in up to 80 feet of now hardened molten rock. The lava reduced landmarks, streets, and neighborhoods to a vast field of blackened boulders and volcanic shard. Dozens of nearby homes that were spared still sit empty, damaged by airborne debris or downwind of cracks that continue to spew toxic gases. Officials estimate it will cost about $800 million to recover. More than 700 homes were destroyed in the historic eruption, and most people will never move back to their land. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. The European Union is reportedly beginning a formal investigation of Spotify's antitrust complaint against Apple. The Financial Times reports the probe will start in the next few weeks. Apple currently takes a 30% cut of revenue from Spotify for distributing the music streaming service on its platform. Spotify calls that a tax on competitors. Shares of Apple, by the way, down about 3% in early trading. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, it's not just China tariffs President Trump's tweeting about. We'll have more on the president's Mueller testimony U-turn with Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Global equities are plunging as Trump threatened to increase tariffs on Chinese imports. Dow futures down 496 points. S&P's dropped 51 and Nasdaq futures climbed by 175. Note the cash market for treasuries is closed. Oil is also under pressure, and Shanghai dropped 5.6% overnight, while most European markets are down around 2% this morning. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And regarding earnings, look for affiliated managers to report around 7:45. In other news, a Kraft Heinz probe found misconduct, and they are restating the 2016 and 2017 numbers. And Disney's price target raised to 165 from 128. Over at UBS. In deal news, Occidental raised the cash portion of its offer for Anadarko to 78% from 50%, and Park Hotels to buy Chesapeake Lodging for $2.7 billion in cash and stock. Wrapping things up, Dish was upgraded to neutral over at Credit Suisse, Comore's downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and Cognizant was downgraded to neutral over at Nomura. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, S&P futures are down almost 52 points. Dow futures down 502. NASDAQ futures down almost 178. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. has deployed an aircraft carrier strike group and bomber force to the Middle East, saying there are troubling and escalatory indications linked to Tehran. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack. Two U.S. warships sailed near disputed islands in the South China Sea today, challenging Beijing's claims for the third time this year amid simmering trade tensions. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox were winners along with the Giants. The Orioles game postponed In the NBA playoffs, the Raptors and Nuggets won. In the NHL playoffs, the Blues were winners. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where Special Counsel Robert Mueller may be set to testify now before the House Judiciary Committee.
Tentative date has been set of May 15th, and we hope the special counsel will appear. We think the American people have a right to hear directly from him.
Democrat David Cicilline sits on the committee. He tells Fox News Sunday Attorney General William Barr should be held in contempt if he doesn't meet this morning's 9 o'clock deadline for the full unredacted Mueller report.
Congress has the absolute responsibility to collect evidence, to compel the presence of witnesses to testify under oath. If the executive branch can prevent us from doing that, they will have effectively extinguished our oversight function.
Doug Collins is the top Republican on House Judiciary. He tells CBS Face the Nation he's ready to hear from Mueller.
He is the fact witness here. He was the one that conducted the hearing, the investigation over 2 years, spending well over $30 million, had all the assets in place with a grand jury and everything. He's the one that is the central figure here.
And Democratic presidential candidates continue to be asked whether President Trump should be impeached. Congressman Eric Swalwell, also on Face the Nation.
This president is taking us down that road. It's maybe the only road to save the country. But right now, I'll tell you, with the attorney general, I think we should move to impeach him first.
Senator Michael Bennett on NBC's Meet the Press.
The House should continue to investigate, and then we should make a decision down the road about whether to impeach it or not, and then obviously to convict or not in the Senate. I think that's exactly right.
And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo appeared on three Sunday programs. He addressed U.S. support for Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido on ABC's This Week.
The president has a full-scale set of options, diplomatic options, political options, options with our allies, and then ultimately a set of options that would involve use of U.S. military.
On North Korea's latest missile tests and whether they amount to a broken promise on denuclearization, Pompeo tells CBS Face the Nation.
We're hopeful. We don't expect Chairman Kim to tell us the truth. That's why we're going to verify any denuclearization that takes place. It's why we will ensure that we see actual on the ground outcomes. We're not going to take anyone's word for it.
And Pompeo was asked on Fox News Sunday what the U.S. is doing to prevent Russian interference in the 2020 election in light of the Mueller report.
This administration has been tougher on Russia than any of its predecessor administrations. I could go through the list, but there's not time in the show to talk about all the things we've done. Our largest defense buildup, the list is long, Chris. And so for you to suggest that somehow we haven't taken election interference seriously, we do.
And that is just some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. For more on all this, we're joined on this Monday morning by Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. Always good to talk with you, Wendy. Let's start with what's happening as far as special counsel Robert Mueller potentially testifying next week on Capitol Hill. In the past, President Trump has said he wouldn't mind that happening. It would be up to the attorney general, he said. Now, he's not just tweeting about China trade. He's tweeting about Mueller should not testify. What's your read on this?
Well, I mean, I think the president can make a valid point that this investigation went on for a long time, that there is no evidence of collusion, that there was no recommendation, formal recommendation from the counsel to impeach or pursue anything based on obstruction. So why does he have to go testify to Congress? But the problem is they haven't given Congress the full Mueller report. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Give Congress the full Mueller report, and then you can make an argument that this is over, that this has been done, that there's no reason for Congress to continue to have hearings and speak with Mueller. But as long as that's not been done, I think Congress has a legitimate case to say, well, you won't give us the full report, so we're going to ask Mueller.
Yeah, we've heard from the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, saying he wants to give Attorney General Barr, another 2 hours to release the full Mueller report. You see that happening today?
I cannot possibly say whether the Attorney General is going to do this today, but I also think that the Democrats in Congress have to be careful to put their money where their mouth is. I mean, you don't want to make some sort of credible threat and then have to back off for other reasons. So instead of saying 2 hours, why don't I just say sort of, are you going to give us a report? We're going to go through with having Mueller come testify unless you give us the report. and then, you know, to take it from there. And so the president will have to make a choice. But Trump somehow manages to keep this thing alive when it should be over. I still do not understand any sort of rational argument. The economy so far, jobs report is good. Trade stuff might mess up the stock market this week, so that may tip us. But on the other hand, everything else is great about the economy, and that means the president's got a pretty good position going into 2020. Why do you keep this alive and just pick a fight with Congress and look like you're hiding something? It's just not a good political strategy.
Yeah, and that raises the question of, you know, whether the president might be upending some of the good things happening with the economy with these tweets threatening new tariffs against China, just as the trade talks looked like they were close to getting wrapped up here.
Yes, but we've been here before, right? So it's May, and we were in March, and we thought they were supposed to get wrapped up at the end of March, but they didn't get wrapped up. Problem is that as long as Trump can position himself as a fighter on behalf of America, particularly against China, China's the enemy, Trump has something to do, and he can go back to the upper Midwest and say, I've been fighting for you, even though some of the plants have closed in the upper Midwest and the jobs market is not doing quite as well there. He hasn't delivered the way he promised in 2016. So he's got to keep this thing alive for particular constituencies that he really needs to win in 2020. It's sort of in his interest to keep the fight alive rather than settle it, because as we know, benefits from trade are really diffuse. So once you settle it with China, what's your issue? What can you go back to the upper Midwest and say you're doing for them? It limits his agenda, and I think politically that's one of the reasons why he wants to keep tweaking it.
It is likely to be a very busy week in Washington. Thanks for helping to get us ready for it here. That's Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller here with us on Bloomberg Daybreak. And you can read more stories from the nation's capital on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, D.C. Just tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Small business hiring is erratic, according to numbers released by payroll provider ADP. Small businesses typically struggle to add jobs when the unemployment rate is very low, as it is now. They often can't pay as much as larger companies or offer the comparatively robust benefits that big companies do. Meanwhile, surveys by Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Capital One, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and MetLife are showing small business owners have been losing some of their optimism as doubts linger about the strength of the current expansion. Mark Zandi, chief economist with Moody's Analytics, says business is good, okay, but not different from how it's been throughout the bulk of this expansion. And in a recent Bank of America survey of small business owners, 28% said the government's tax policy has been positive for their companies. That's down from the 45% who were interviewed a year ago. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Kraft Heinz this morning, down 2.6%. The packaged food giant saying it plans to restate earnings for 2016, 2017, and part of 2018, and that it found evidence of employee misconduct in procurement that increased the cost of products sold. Futures are falling, with S&P futures down about 48 points, Dow futures down 475, and NASDAQ futures are down 163. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% at $61.36 a barrel. That's down 58 cents. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.